Morning, being the third week of Lent, we're continuing a series that we started a couple weeks ago at the beginning of Lent, where we're walking through the different pieces of the Lord's Prayer. We figure it's an important thing to look at because anytime somebody asks Jesus, "Will you teach us something?" and he responds, it's probably a good thing to look at. So we've been walking through the Lord's Prayer. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the address, where Jesus tells us that we can address God as our Father. Then last week, we looked at what's considered the first petition, the hallowed be your name. And so today, we move on to the very next piece. So I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We'll be reading verses 9 through 13. It's on page 938. Matthew chapter 6. So Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Please pray with me. Almighty God, as we continue to dig into these words that you've taught us about prayer, Lord, we pray that you would speak through these words. We pray that you would speak, and we pray that you would open us that we might hear what it is you're saying to us this morning. And as always, we pray that when we hear your voice, we'd be changed. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at Our Father. Last week, we looked at Hallowed Be Your Name. So today, we look at the longest petition in the prayer. We look at Your Kingdom Come, Your Will Be Done on Earth as it is in Heaven. Your Kingdom Come, Your Will Be Done. Essentially, praying God's Kingdom Come is praying that God's will be done, because if you think a kingdom is a territory that is ruled by the king, and so the kingdom is the area in which the king's will is done. So in praying that God's kingdom come, God's will be done, we're praying God's kingdom come here. And in talking about kingdom, in talking about this kingdom of God, there's really more that we could say about this kingdom of God than we could ever fit into one morning. So we won't be able to take an exhaustive look at everything we could say about this kingdom of God. But this morning, I want to look at a few things that we can pull specifically out of this petition, this part of the prayer, about this kingdom of God. And so we're going to look at kind of a direction. We're going to look at a view of history that this gives us, and then we're going to kind of look at the way that we're able to participate in this. So first we look at a direction or a location. In the prayer, we're praying that God's kingdom come here, that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth here as it is in heaven. So in the prayer, we're praying that God's kingdom comes here, which I think is opposite to much of what the world understands Christianity is about. That for a lot of people around the world, it's almost viewed that what Christianity is about is getting us somewhere else. That the point, what Christianity is about is getting us somewhere else. And we see it in some of the songs that we sing. And I'll put some lyrics on the screen. And no, before I put them up there, I love this song and we'll probably sing this again at some point. But just for the sake of looking at the lyrics, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. And again, I love this song. When we have another bluegrass service, we will probably sing that song again here. But what I want to look at is it can lead to a thinking that the point, what Christianity is about, is to get us somewhere else. That the main point is that we go somewhere else. But what Jesus is teaching is for us to pray that God's kingdom would come here. And that doesn't negate the hope that we have in knowing that when we die, we will be in the presence of God. But when we pray, your kingdom come, when we pray your kingdom come, that doesn't negate the hope of knowing that when we die, we will be in the presence of God. But what it does is it recognizes that the way we think, the things that we believe actually matter and they impact the way that we live. And throughout history, when people have taken that the main point, the only thing it's about is getting somewhere else, largely what that causes is people withdraw from this world. We withdraw and we sit around and we wait to go someplace else. When praying God's kingdom come here is something that gives us a mission, it gives us a vision, it gives us a calling for how we are to live here in this world, that we don't sit around and wait, but instead we're praying that God's kingdom would come here, that this world would look more and more like a kingdom that God is governing, that the way of God would be made more and more fully present here. And it's recognizing that if God is king and the territory that he rules is his kingdom, then we then are citizens of this kingdom. And one of the ways God is bringing his kingdom here is through his citizens, through his people, through kingdom bearers. And that the way that we live, the way that we act, the way that we treat our neighbors are ways that we can advance God's kingdom here, or that God can advance his kingdom through us here. So we're praying that God's kingdom come here, which also gives us a different view of history. You see, through time, there have largely been kind of three major thoughts on the way history operates, on the way the world works. The first is some people have held this kind of, it's essentially this watchmaker view of God, that God has created everything. God set everything up. He put all the gears in place. He twisted it and just let it go. And now history is just headed wherever it goes. Some people hold to that idea, that it was created, it was set in motion, and now history is just moving to wherever it's going to go. There's another main thought through history about history, that history is essentially cyclical, that it's this circle, that what happens happened before and will happen again, and that we largely live in this loop that constantly repeats itself. And now, there is something to say about causes having effects and actions having consequences and looking back and learning from our past in making decisions about our future. But when we pray, your kingdom come, we're taking on a different view of history, that we believe that history is headed somewhere, that history is being guided, it's being directed, history is heading somewhere to this time when God's kingdom will come fully here, when God's kingdom will be fully established when Jesus himself returns. That we don't believe that history, that the world was just started and then off to do its own thing. We don't believe that we're just in this circle that keeps repeating, but we believe that history is pointing somewhere, that it is pointing to the time when Jesus returns and God's kingdom is fully established here. So we pray that God's kingdom would come as we look forward to the day when Jesus returns and God's kingdom comes fully. This is what we call the already not yet. It's this concept of already not yet, that when Jesus came, through Jesus' life and his ministry, Jesus inaugurated this kingdom of God in the world. Jesus brought this kingdom, but we recognize that the world is still broken, that there's still evil, there's still violence, there's still hatred. And so we believe on the one hand that Jesus came bringing this kingdom, but we look forward to that time when Jesus comes back and makes everything right and fully establishes that kingdom when everything is being governed and reigned by God as king. But we live in this time in between. We live in this time when Jesus has already brought the kingdom, but looking forward to the day that it's brought fully, which also we recognize in this part of the prayer. Because to pray that God's kingdom come here is also to acknowledge that there are other kingdoms. Because to pray that God's kingdom would come is to recognize that there are other kingdoms at play. There are other kingdoms that exist, which we actually see in the Bible, especially in the temptation story when Jesus is led out into the wilderness to be tempted. We read this story out of Luke chapter 4. The devil led him, Jesus, up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" And so notice in the first part with what the devil's saying, the devil says in verse 6, he says to him, "I will give you all of their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me." So the devil is saying, these kingdoms that I'm showing you, I actually have control over. And shockingly, when Jesus responds, Jesus says, "I will not bow to you." But Jesus never debates the fact that somehow the devil has some sort of control over these kingdoms that exist in the world. And so to pray that God's kingdom come is to acknowledge that there are other kingdoms, and that some of these kingdoms, some of these ways in people that people live are directly opposed to the rule, to this kingship of God, which really doesn't surprise us, does it? I mean, we see this every time we turn on the news. We see this every time we open our newspapers, especially it seems in times like we're in right now, where we turn on the news and we're seeing time and time again people being persecuted, people being oppressed, people being killed for their faith in Jesus, for their Christian faith. And it's every time we turn on the news and we see those stories, we're confronted with the understanding that there are different kingdoms at play, and that some of these kingdoms are directly, violently opposed to this kingdom of God that God brought in Jesus, that God is looking to expand in us, that God will bring fully when Jesus returns, when Jesus comes again. And so our response, one of the responses we have in viewing all of this hatred and evil and violence that exists in the world, is to continue to pray the lines of this prayer. That we continue to pray that in the midst of that, in the midst of the pain and the mourning and the grief and the death, that we would continue to pray that God's kingdom would come. That God's kingdom would come, that those kingdoms would fall, and that God's kingdom of hope, of love, of restoration, that this kingdom would come, that this kingdom would rule. This is what we're praying in this prayer. And as we pray it, again, we recognize that we participate in this. That a kingdom is a territory with a king, with a people, and the people are the ones who go out into the kingdom to do the will of the king. And so we find ourselves as Christians, as part of this kingdom. We are kingdom bearers who are called to go out into our communities, into our neighborhoods, into our families, into our workplaces. We go out as citizens, as kingdom bearers, seeking to advance this kingdom, the kingdom of God, into the world. That we are building a kingdom. We are citizens of a kingdom. And so we are called to ask the question of what kingdoms are we building? What kingdoms are we advancing? Are we advancing kingdoms of the world? Are we advancing kingdoms of ourselves? Or are we living faithfully as citizens of this kingdom of God, going out, giving of ourselves, building that kingdom? Because the way we live matters. What we do is building a kingdom. What kingdom are we building? What kingdoms are we building? What we do, can help bring God's kingdom more fully here. Which brings us to a story, The Dropbox. How many of you are familiar? How many of you saw this film this past week? Anybody? This was a film that was shown for 3 days this past week. For those of you, how many of you know about this film? A couple people? So essentially, this film follows this guy. His name is Pastor Lee. He's the pastor of a church down in South Korea. And Pastor Lee recognized at one point that there was a problem that existed in South Korea in that women were having babies, and when they could not care for their babies, they really didn't have any options besides abandoning these children on the street. And so Pastor Lee recognize that there is a problem at hand. Children, newborn babies are being abandoned on the street, and I can't sit by and do nothing. So Pastor Lee built a box on the side of the place where he lives. And on the street side, he has a little opening that you can pull down. It opens into a heated compartment. And so now, somebody who would have looked to abandon a baby can go to Pastor Lee's place, open the box on the outside of his house, insert their baby into this box, this heated chamber, and when the door is closed, an alarm sounds in Pastor Lee's house that alerts him that a baby has been dropped off, and Pastor Lee brings this baby in. Pastor Lee has 20 children with mild to severe disabilities living with him. And these other children, he takes in, he then gives them the treatment that they need, and then puts them into a system where they're able to be placed into foster care, to be adopted, to have a chance at life. The film showed for 3 days this past week, and I want to show a little clip, not of the film itself, but of some of the backstory of the producer talking a little bit about doing this film and his experience with Pastor Lee. So if we can dim the lights just a little bit.
It's a sad fact, hundreds of unwanted babies are abandoned on the streets of Seoul, South Korea every year. Many of them do not survive.
And this tragic loss of life moved the pastor to set up a way for saving unwanted babies.
I first read an article about Pastor Lee in June of 2011, and it was all about this pastor in South Korea who had built a mailbox for abandoned babies.
버려지는 것뿐만 아니라 버려지고 나서 발견을 해야 되는데 발견을 못해서 아이가 죽는 경우도 생겨요.
이 아이들을 보호하지 않으면 자칫 우리 대문 앞에서 사체가 발견될 수밖에 없는 그런 상황이구나.
나는 그 현장에 있으니까
이 아이들이 이제 죽겠습니다.
It was like this guy had built a bunker for babies and was defending it with his life and saying no one dies here. And I was compelled by that immediately. I flew to South Korea to make a movie about saving babies, and I had no idea God was going to save me. So I became a Christian while making this film. And so Pastor Lee changed everything because he showed me what God's love was really like. Those kids that get dropped off in that box, they're not the only ones that are broken. They're not the only ones that are helpless. When it comes to living forever, we're all like those kids, bound up in the dark, waiting for somebody to come save us. I want people to know what God's love is like. It's a gritty, I will do anything and give everything for you love, even if you don't deserve it.
Last piece.
Pastor Lee started as my main character. He started as kind of the hero, the point, the purpose of the film. But after I experienced what Pastor Lee did many years before, it was really just about God and how he works through the lives of very broken people and makes something beautiful out of them.
We can bring the lights back up. But so what is it that we find compelling about these stories, about these stories of Pastor Lee? I think one of the things we find compelling about these stories is Pastor Lee, through the work he's doing, is bringing God's kingdom here. That what Pastor Lee is doing is he is doing the work of God's kingdom in the place where he's placed in South Korea. That through that baby box, Pastor Lee is transforming, what would be despair and abandonment and death. And through this box, Pastor Lee is transforming that, this despair and abandonment and death, and he's transforming it into hope and adoption and life. And though what Pastor Lee is doing is he is advancing God's kingdom there. So how is it that we do that with our lives? What are the ways that we can use the gifts that God has given us, the talents that God has given us, the time and the abilities and the creativity? How is it that we can take what God has given us and we can look out into our communities and our world asking that question of how can we be kingdom bearers in the settings where God has placed us? In what ways can we advance God's kingdom here? Because again, the way that we live is advancing a kingdom. The way that we love, the way that we treat those around us, the way we treat our neighbors is bringing a kingdom. What kingdom are we building? And may we be people who live passionately as citizens of this kingdom of God, brought in the life and ministry of Jesus, looking forward to that day when Jesus returns, when everything is made right. And now, in this time where we live, may we be passionate citizens of that kingdom, looking to advance that everywhere we go. Please pray with me. Almighty God, we pray that you would continue to create in us a passion to live as citizens of your kingdom, to advance your kingdom here on this earth in the areas where you've placed us. So may you open our eyes to the opportunities that exist all around us. May you open our eyes and may you give us the courage. May you give us the ability to walk where you're calling us walk, to live the way you're calling us to live, to love the people that you've placed in our paths, in our lives. Lord, may we be passionate citizens of your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.